Well, let's turn for a while this morning back to Matthew chapter 6, and we're working our way line by line through the Lord's Prayer. Last week we thought about your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so today we're at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I guess there are two mistakes we can make when we come to a line like this in the Lord's Prayer. And it's probably good to just deal with them right at the start. The first is, surely we don't need to pray this prayer anymore, because all we need to do to get our daily bread is to go down to Asda or go up to Tesco's or whatever your supermarket of choice is, and there's plenty of bread there. There's brown bread and there's white bread and there's wholemeal bread and there's high-fiber bread and there's bread for there's gluten-free and bread for those with who need celiac problems. There's batch rolls and there's sliced loaves and there's bloomers and there's naan breads and breads from different parts of the world, and you can go. So surely we don't need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. The other mistake that we can make is to think that God isn't interested in something as menial as providing bread for people like you and me. He's the God of heaven and earth. He is the God who we've reminded ourselves at the beginning of the prayer. He is the one who is in heaven. He is the one whose name is to be hallowed. He is the one who has a great and a glorious kingdom that is coming, and a great and a glorious will that's being worked out in our hearts and our lives. Surely God's not interested in something as menial and as insignificant as this. And yet this prayer answers both of those things, doesn't it? Jesus encourages us, commands us as we pray to pray for our daily bread, to pray for those things we need for our bodies. You see, behind this, we must have the awareness that God loves our bodies, that God is interested in our bodies. We shouldn't have this view that our bodies are somehow wicked, somehow evil, somehow, all that matters is our souls. God thinks bodies are so important that he's given you one. And he's given one to every one of us. And he knows that our bodies are intricately and gloriously designed. He knows how our bodies work far better than any doctor or any consultant or any scientist, because he is the one who put our bodies together. And he knows what our bodies need. And therefore, he encourages us to pray. It's good to remind ourselves of that. We live in a world, don't we, where body image is such a big issue and such a big thing. And I suggest to you that one of the reasons why so many people have a negative body image is because they don't realize that God gave them a body. And he loves their body. And he knows how their body works. And not only has he given us a body, but he provides us with the things that we need for our body, and he encourages us to pray for those things. So let's look at this line. I want to say three things from this line this morning. The first is that this is a prayer for bread. This is a prayer for bread. Now, so far, the requests of the prayer have all been very God-centered, haven't they? I think we've noticed that structure about the prayer, that the first few lines are about our relationship with God. They're about hallowing God's name and worshipping him because of the kingdom that he is bringing in and submitting ourselves to his will. But here there's a change, isn't there? And the next three things are going to be about things that we need. In a sense, they're about us, a bit like the Ten Commandments, isn't it? You know, the first four commandments out of the ten deal with our relationship with God. And then the next six deal with our relationship with one another. You see, our relationship with God comes first. That's the most important thing of all. But effortlessly, seamlessly, this prayer goes from our relationship with God to the things that we need. And the next three things are going to be things that we need: our daily bread, forgiveness of our sins, and guidance away from temptation. And so there's a lovely balance in this prayer, isn't there? And this starts with our physical needs. We are encouraged to come before God with our physical needs. Now, I suggest to you that it's not just bread that this is a prayer for. Bread is being used as a picture of the things that we need. The things that we need day by day, the things that are essential for our human existence. Bread is the staple diet, isn't it, of so many people across our world. And it was the staple diet, the basic foodstuff of the people in Jesus' day. And so this prayer isn't just asking for bread, but it's asking God to give us the things that we need for our existence day by day. So I think it's talking about food. I think it's talking about water. I think it's talking about shelter. I think it's talking about warmth and heat and home and the basic things that we need in our lives from day to day. And when we pray this prayer, we are expressing our dependence upon God for those things. And we're asking him for those things. Now, of course, for many Christians, this is a very real thing. We live in the rich West, don't we? We have, as we've said, a supermarket to go to. And there'll be shelves there laden, not just with bread, but all sorts of foodstuffs. But for many Christians across our world, that's not how it is. For many Christians in this land, down through the centuries, in times past, it isn't as it is. It isn't as it was. And so the prayer for daily bread, the prayer for the basics of life, is an important one, and was particularly an important one for them. But you and I should have the same sense of dependency upon God for our basic needs, even though we might feel we can meet those needs ourselves. That lovely hymn that we just sang, that harvest hymn, reminds us of that, doesn't it? We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter and the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, the soft, refreshing rain, because he only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flower. He lights the evening star. The winds and waves obey him. By him the birds are fed. Much more to us, his children, he gives our daily bread. And sometimes we can forget that even though we live in a land of wealth and prosperity, even as we just think about ourselves, we forget that, yes, we plow and we scatter and we harvest and we have shops and we have all of those things, but ultimately all of those things come from God. And when we pray that our daily bread might be supplied, then we're acknowledging our dependence upon God and asking him for those things. It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, in the time of COVID subsequently to that, we've had, even in this land, haven't we, we've had a break in the supply chains, and sometimes things that we depend upon and we've always taken for granted suddenly weren't there. There's been a big issue over medicines, hasn't there? I think this covers our medicines as well, this sort of prayer, things that we need for our bodily existence. And there are people now with particular illnesses who've not been able to get their medicines. And maybe what COVID did was remind us just how fragile these chains are. And so it causes us to pray. To pray that God will meet our needs, that he will give us bread day by day. Even though we live in the rich West, and even though we might think that we don't need to pray this, we do. Because we are utterly dependent upon God's goodness. And This prayer, this line in the prayer, should cause us to look to God day by day. He is the one who knows the things that we need. We went on a little bit further in the Sermon on the Mount, didn't we, to a bit further into chapter 6. And that wonderful section where Jesus tells us to look at the birds and look at the flowers and how God meets their needs and how he feeds the birds and he clothes the lilies of the field. And he says, now you learn from them. You depend upon God. Depend upon God for your needs. Call upon him to give you bread. Of course, as we think about this word bread, we should remind ourselves that bread is a picture of bigger things as well in the scripture. Now, don't make a mistake. I think this verse is teaching us about physical bread and about depending upon God for his provision to us. But bread in the scriptures is a picture of Christ, isn't it? He is the one who said, I am the bread of life. One of the reasons why we'll be breaking bread together in a moment is we'll be remembering the body of Christ, which was broken for us on Calvary so that our sins could be forgiven. And bread is a picture, is used in the scripture as a picture of the Lord Jesus, because we need him every day. We need him in our lives. We can't have eternal life without him. We can't have the hope of heaven without him. Bread is a picture in the scripture of God's word. Sometimes we sing, don't we? Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. And one of the reasons why we've come to church this morning is that we might be fed with spiritual bread. Bread is used as a picture of the church. The church of Jesus gathered together is described as a loaf in 1 Corinthians. And so many of our spiritual needs in the Bible are pictured as bread. And although this verse isn't about those things primarily, it's good to remind ourselves that God is the God who meets our spiritual needs in Christ through his word, just as he meets our physical needs. And so this is a prayer that Jesus has commanded us to pray, that Jesus will give us bread. And even living in the world in which we live, even living in a rich society, we should pray that line of the Lord's Prayer with just as much concern and just as much seriousness as if we were living somewhere else in the world or somewhere else in history, because we are utterly dependent upon God for the provision of our physical needs. So that's the first thing we must say about this line. This is a prayer for bread. It's the prayer that God will meet our needs as the one who knows what our needs are. But you notice that this line is not just a prayer for bread, but it's a prayer for daily bread. And I think that's important. It doesn't just say, give us bread. It says, give us this day our daily bread. You see, this verse is reminding us that God is the God who meets our needs day by day. And this verse, I think, is a verse that reminds us that we are to trust him day by day to meet our needs. Now, we mustn't get this out of proportion. Does this mean it's wrong for us to do a weekly shop, for us to have freezers, to go down and buy the food for the week and put the food in the freezer? Or in olden days, it was the larder, wasn't it? In the pantry or whatever it was you called it. Is it wrong? No, that's not what this is saying, is it? What this verse is reminding us of is our daily dependence upon God and our need to look to him daily. We have that amazing story, didn't we, from Exodus chapter 16 as our Old Testament reading this morning. And it was wonderful to see how God provided the manna in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't he? The last verse of our reading, or the last but one verse of Exodus 16, gives us a clue about the chapters that are going to follow, doesn't it? because Moses writes with the benefit of hindsight and says, well, you know what God promised that day when the people of Israel were complaining, when he promised to send the meat in the twilight and the bread in the morning, he kept his promise. And every day that was kept. And every day when the people got up, there it was, the miraculous provision. And of course, one of the things that's interesting about that is that God didn't send the bread at the beginning of the week to cover the whole week. He sent it day by day. And the people had to get up every morning and go out of their tents and go and collect it. And they had to trust that God was going to meet their need day by day. The only day when that didn't happen was the Sabbath, wasn't it? It's interesting that this is Exodus chapter 16, isn't it? And the command to keep the Sabbath holy doesn't happen until chapter 20, four chapters later. But the Sabbath is already there. The idea that we keep one day special, the idea that one day is set apart for God and for his worship. The seventh day of the week in Old Testament times, the first day of the week in New Testament times. It's not something that starts with Exodus 20. It's already there in Exodus 16. And on the sixth day of the week, God provided enough food for 2 days. Every other time, if you kept it for the next day, it had gone off by the morning. But what God gave them on the fifth day of the week, on the sixth day of the week, was able to keep them for 2 days. See, God is the God who provides for our needs daily. And you and I need to be those who trust God daily. You see, we so often run ahead of God, don't we? We're so often thinking about next week and the week after, or the month after, or the year after. So often we spend so much of our lives in a state of anxiety, don't we? Because we're thinking far ahead when God is the God who promises us daily grace and daily bread. Now again, it's not wrong to make provision for the future. All of us here are either enjoying the pensions that we put aside for in the past, or we're putting aside money for the pensions we're hoping to enjoy in the future. There's nothing wrong with that. God tells us to be good stewards of what God has given us, but we should trust God daily. Those lovely verses in the end of Matthew 6 remind us of that. Do you think the birds go to sleep at night worrying about whether there's going to be food for them the next day? No, they don't do that, do they? Do you think the flowers of the fields worry about what they're going to look like tomorrow? No, they don't do that, do they? No. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. And you and I are to go daily to God and to daily ask him to meet our needs. That's what he encourages us to do here. Much more to us as children, he gives our daily bread. He promises to give us what we need for each day. This verse takes away a reason for worry, doesn't it? It takes away a reason for discontentment. It takes away a reason for being the sort of people that the children of Israel were there in Exodus chapter 16 and time again afterwards, moaning and complaining and longing to go back to Egypt so they could enjoy the cucumbers and the melons and the garlic and whatever else it was that they had there. No, my friends, this prayer isn't just a prayer for bread. It's a prayer for daily bread. And so tomorrow morning when you get up, tomorrow morning when you pray, you say, God, I'm trusting you for today. I'm trusting you that you're going to meet my needs today. Yes, I've got to have concerns about tomorrow, but I'm not going to worry about those. Tomorrow will worry about itself, Jesus says. No, this verse tells us that we are to pray for daily bread. I suggest that means that we should also give thanks daily for what God has done for us. That we should be quick in returning our praise and acknowledging, yes, today you have met my needs and I give thanks to you for a daily bread. So this is a prayer for bread. This is a prayer for daily bread. But even then, we haven't exhausted the verse, have we? Because there's a third thing that we need to see here. And the prayer is for our daily bread. And here we're being reminded again that this is a corporate prayer. This is a prayer for the whole of God's people. One of the things that we said right at the very beginning of our studies, what was it, 6, 8 weeks ago, is it's right in its very first word reminds us that we belong to something big. We belong to something glorious. We belong to a worldwide family of believers. Although this prayer is, as we've read in Matthew chapter 6, it's a prayer that we can pray individually, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the context of the verses, Jesus says, you know, you go into the secret place on your own and you pray, and as you're praying there, you pray this prayer, or you pray after this manner. This is a prayer for God's people to pray together. We reminded ourselves of that. It's a communal prayer. And so it doesn't begin, my Father, who is in heaven, but our Father. So as we pray this prayer, we remember that we are part of a great family of people who have God as our Father. The Bible says that if we're Christians, we have the right to call God our Father. If we're not Christians, although we might be God's offspring in one sense, we don't have the right, we don't have the authority to call God our Father yet. But if we are Christians, then he is our Father, not just my Father. And in this line, we are reminded, aren't we, that we are part of a worldwide church. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not just praying that God will give me daily bread, but we're praying for Christians all over the world, brothers and sisters, for their needs. And make no mistake, there are Christians across our world today who don't have daily bread. And we pray for them, don't we? And we ask God to meet their need. There are Christians who live in lands of famine. There are Christians who are being held in prison and in torture camps and in labor camps just for being Christians. There are people who are living in poverty today, largely because of the greed of others. We have to confess, don't we? And here we're recognizing and we're praying for them. We're praying that God will meet their needs, even as he meets ours. You see, this is a prayer, not just that God will meet our needs, but it's a prayer for the family of God across our world today. And as we pray this prayer, we have to recognize that. And of course, that's going to affect, I trust, our lives as well, isn't it? You know, if we are praying for the needs, the physical needs of brothers and sisters across our world, and we're not prepared to give of our substance and of our surplus and of the wealth that God has blessed us with to help brothers and sisters who don't have bread, then can we really pray this prayer? We can so often just rejoice in the good things that God has given us and thank him for them without remembering that we have a duty across our world for those who struggle with the bare necessities of life and not to have the things that we take so readily for granted. But here we are, we're praying. We're praying again. Give us this day our daily bread. And so this morning, as we have met together, as we have come with our full stomachs, as we have come from places of wealth and satisfaction, we remember that we add our voices and our praises today to those who are around the world who would truly and with very real relevance pray, give us this day our daily bread. For those who, humanly speaking, don't know where the next meal is coming from. And that's why it's good for us to support mission organizations and aid agencies who have gone from this land and who are able to use the wealth that we give them to provide for the needs of others as well. And so you see this line, far from being redundant, actually speaks to us immensely. As with all of these lines, they're not just lines in a prayer, are they? They're challenges to our lifestyle. Just like last week, when we prayed, "Your will be done," we recognize that that means that we have to submit our will to His will. So today, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are being challenged to depend upon God for His goodness day by day. We are being challenged to be grateful to God for what He does give us day by day. We are being challenged to rely on His providence rather than worrying about our needs moment by moment. We are being challenged about our selfishness and our greed and our self-serving in a world where so many brothers and sisters don't enjoy the blessings that we have. And above all, we are acknowledging that God is the God of every part of our lives. From the things that we might consider to be spiritual and high and lifted up, to the things that are mundane and basic and yet essential for us, moment by moment, day by day. And so may God help us as we pray, to pray meaningfully. Give us this day our daily bread.